It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
They have this Panther sound effect that is just the cheesiest, stupidest sounding thing. Big voice guy going, Panther goal scored by Sam Reinhart.
Where'd you get that thing?
I trapped it. Been keeping it in my bathroom at the motel, feeding it old pizza.
It's Mike Shope.
If you're calm, that wondrous big cat will be calm too. But if you're scared, that beautiful death machine will do what God made it to do, namely, eat you with a smile on its face.
And the Bulldog. On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Schedule day. It's not for everyone. We've had a couple of guests recently that have been more along the lines of, you know, just the guy on in your golf foursome, and you're telling him all the about the barkies and the birdies and the sandies. It's like, you know what? Just tell me what I owe.
that's me golfing. You've experienced that. Like, I don't know a giraffe. What the hell are you talking
just
about?
Tell me
here?
What I owe.
Just tell me. Yeah, right.
I exactly. Read this in my head while I'm trying to play.
Right. I have enough trouble with that as it is. Just playing.
Yes. Maybe the comparison holds a little bit of water. Joining us now on the Wes Herr hotline is Marcus Mosher, Locked On Cowboys. Just wrote a piece for a website called BuffaloDown.com on Keon Coleman. We're going to want to talk to Marcus about that as well. Marcus, I don't know your work that well, but I take it from your Twitter. You're in the camp of, yeah.
Worry when we get there.
Get me the schedule. Can I just avoid all the noise?
Yeah, this sucks. I hate all the leaks and stuff. I just want to know, is my team playing on Thanksgiving? What time? And if they're playing on Christmas, where am I going? That's all I really care about, because we know who these teams are playing and where they're playing. Maybe I'm old, but I just don't get it.
Well, in terms of Dallas, you get opening night, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. I guess it can never be that big a shock when the Cowboys are in prime spots. But
it's not. We come to expect all this kind of stuff now with Dallas, but my poor family, they hate it when I'm gone all the time. But listen, it's the Dallas Cowboys, you're America's team. What do you expect?
Right. What kind of expectations do you have for them? We have a guest on every week, Sam Paniatovic, who talks betting from BetMGM. And I said to him, I asked him last week, who's a bad team you think might be good? And he said, can I use Dallas? I mean, 7-10, but the injuries, how good a team can that be?
It's really hard right now over on BetMGM. Their win total is set at 7.5, which seems really low when you have, you know, quarterback like Dak Prescott, you know, receiver like CeeDee Lamb, Micah Parsons on defense. But I just don't think odds makers are buying into this roster being as good as it was a couple years ago. Do I think they could potentially go 9-8, maybe 10-7? Sure. But their division's really good. Their schedule's really tough. And with the first-year head coach in Brian Schottenheimer, I just don't know how much we should expect. I think they're going to be in a bunch of games, but I don't think this is a team that anybody should be worried about right now in the postseason.
How much of a surprise at all was it that Schottenheimer ended up in that chair, Marcus?
I mean, it was pretty surprising. I think once we saw that, like, they weren't going to interview, like, Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn and some of the other top coordinators in the cycle, I think we started to come to the realization that, hey, maybe Brian Schottenheimer really does have a chance here. The players vouch for him, and I think that's part of the reason why he's here. But I thought for sure Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones would chase a big name. And I, as much as I respect Brian Schottenheimer, that's not him.
Marcus Mosher. So also George Pickens. Marcus, that's interesting.
I guess. There's a lot of drama that comes with George Pickens. As somebody who lives here in Erie, Pennsylvania, and got a really good chance to watch a lot of George Pickens in Pittsburgh, I personally wouldn't want to be in the George Pickens business. But I think the Cowboys were so desperate to find a number two receiver that they're willing to overlook some of the baggage, and they're looking at it like, hey, this is a 7 or 8 month rental. If it doesn't go well, we can move on. It's a risk, but I understand why they're taking it.
Yeah, I also wouldn't have wanted to go anywhere near Pickens myself for the Bills, But my favorite thing about the transaction is that it doesn't come with a contract, right? So if you're ever maybe going to get a guy like that to be his best self, which has been, I think, somewhat of the challenge for him so far in Pittsburgh early on in his career, maybe this is it. Because he knows he's playing for a contract somewhere, if not in Dallas, somewhere else. And maybe you get a little less of the disinterested when it's not my number being called and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, and that was my favorite part of the trade. When the Cowboys first made the move, I was a little nervous that they were going to try to extend Pickens for even another year or two. I just don't think that's wise. I think you want to see what he looks like in their offense, in their culture, in their locker room. And I think you're right. Like, if we're ever going to get a focused George Pickens, it's going to be this year. Make him prove it. Make him show that he can be a professional and show up on time, practice, and learn the offense. I think that's the only way this thing is going to work.
I do want to say about Dallas that I appreciate they'll make a trade like that. We get to the draft, and there are all kinds of names being thrown around as maybe trade candidates, Breece Hall, and, I mean, Jalen Ramsey, obviously. At least Dallas, you know, has the nerve. And I think it's probably better this time that it's not for Jonathan Mingo or Trey Lance.
Or Kyrie Elam, who the Cowboys traded for this offseason. I mean, they're very willing to use those day three picks, and even sometimes these early day two picks, on guys that were highly thought of at one time. And it's not the worst strategy in the world to take former first-round picks who have talent that maybe just didn't work out in other situations. If you hit on one of the four trades, it's ultimately worth it. I think that's their philosophy. They're just throwing darts. We'll see with Joe Milton, Kyrie Elam, Kenneth Murray, who they traded for, and now George Pickens, if any of these work out.
Milton, right? New England gave them Joe Milton, which was an interesting thing because he looked great against the Bills in that one game, his only game, and I guess they just didn't want the distraction or something. They just basically gave him away.
Yeah, and I think they knew that Joe Milton was just never going to get the practice reps behind Drake May. Whereas in Dallas, because of Dak Prescott's injury history, and I think they're going to be a little smarter about maybe not overworking him in camp, this is just a better opportunity for Milton to develop, get better as a quarterback.
You mentioned not being, entirely sure like what you've got there in this team this year. How much of that is up front? I feel like a strength of the Cowboys through Prescott's time there has been the line. Like they a bunch of first round picks up there. How much is that? We know like there's been a retirement that's affected that, and now we're looking at maybe a rookie stepping in up front at one of the interior positions. How are things looking up there? Is that still a strength of the team, or is that maybe a weaker link than it has been?
They want it to be a strength because they continue to invest a bunch of assets into the offensive line. They spent a first-round pick this year on Tyler Booker, the guard from Alabama. They spent a first-round pick on Tyler Guyton, their left tackle from Oklahoma. A couple years ago, first-round pick on Tyler Smith, another guard. So they want that to be their strength. But you're still talking about some young players who have not played particularly well that they're hoping to develop. And you start the season off with Philadelphia, maybe the league's best pass rush. You play the Giants in week two, who have maybe, one of the best young pass rushes in the NFL. There's a lot of hope that this offensive line will get better as the year goes on. But the first couple of weeks of the season could be pretty rough.
We'll get to Keon Coleman here in your article in just a minute. One more for me, Marcus, on Dallas is maybe an obvious question, but Micah Parsons, how do you think that ends?
He's going to get a contract. I've got no doubt about it. It's just, does it come in June or does it come mid-August? The Cowboys want Micah Parsons to be there. Micah Parsons wants to be a Dallas Cowboy, and the Cowboys have an offer on the table right now which would make him the highest paid defensive player in NFL history. They're close, not close enough to say that the deal's done. But yeah, you don't have to worry. Micah Parsons is going to be in Dallas for the foreseeable future.
Okay.
How about the rest of the defense? Diggs, is that expected to be back on track? I mean, injuries really undid them on that side of the ball last year.
And that's one of the biggest reasons why it's harder to project this Cowboys team moving forward, because Trayvon Diggs, their all-pro cornerback, is coming off yet another knee injury. Some of the whispers have been maybe we won't see him for the first 2 months of the season, and that's putting a lot of stress on someone like Kyrie Elam to now be a starter. DeMarvian Overshown, their top linebacker. He tore multiple knee ligaments late in the season. He's likely not going to be back until Thanksgiving at the earliest. So they just have a lot of guys that are at key spots that they're relying on to get healthy. We could see them without multiple key starters for the first 2-3 months of the year.
Yeah, and another depth piece at corner there was a guy that we talked a lot about here for the Bills coming off an injury from East Carolina, right? Siobhan Revelle Jr.
Yeah, and the Cowboys are hopeful that he will be ready for week one, but still you're talking about a third-round rookie who's not played a lot of snaps in college football coming off a torn ACL to start against A.J. Brown on the outside. That could be rough. And I think that's what's so hard about this team is they clearly have talent, but when will all that talent be healthy on the field together? We might not see it at all this season.
Well, at least you get Malik Nabers in week two. Marcus, if the schedule leaks are correct, maybe a little bit tougher for him to get the ball, but still.
It's going to be a rough start to the season for Dallas.
Do you have an Elam take? You say you're down the road in Erie. I don't know how closely you might have followed his career here. Sal Capaccio with us would often say, because there was always a spotlight on Elam, you know, it wasn't working. And he would talk about, like, he was thought to be a really hard worker and that it wasn't, there's nothing diva about it, nothing sort of easily explained for his struggles. But, man, I mean, he couldn't really get on the field. And then in the playoffs, they needed him in that Chief game, and it did not go well.
Yeah, he's had a very up-and-down career, to say the least. Now, the Cowboys are hopeful in Matt Eberflus's defense that he's going to be a better fit. But I don't know anything that we've seen, you know, through the first 3 years of his career suggests that he's suddenly going to turn it around. But then again, you don't find cornerbacks on day three of the draft that have his type of talent. So he's a young kid. He hasn't played a ton relative to, you know, other first-round picks. The Cowboys are hoping that their coaching staff can figure it out.
All right, Marcus, let's talk Keon Coleman. You wrote a piece for BuffaloDown.com. I got to make sure I say it right, BuffaloDown.com. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, big words here. Like, one of the most important players in the league this year, mm-hmm. Coleman. What have you seen? And let's hear the argument for why so much here rides on him.
Well, let's talk about the positives, right? If this thing works out and he becomes the X receiver that they drafted and they wanted him to develop to be, I don't know how you stop this Buffalo offense, right? Because now you've got somebody on the outside that can get open, that can win the contested catch balls, who can make plays in the end zone. That's what we saw at Florida State. We saw somebody who could eventually be that player. Now, he's so young and so raw that it was, you know, up and down as a rookie. Now, the wrist injury obviously didn't help, but you're hoping that he can be that big body X receiver. And now you've got Khalil Shakir coming out of the slot, Josh Palmer, who can play inside, outside. If he turns out to be that number one receiver that Buffalo thought they were getting when they drafted him last year, this should be the best offense in the NFL. And if you have one more piece, you know, going up against Kansas City or going up against Baltimore, maybe that's the difference in getting you over the hump.
Yeah, I mean, the focus on the receivers here, I mean, there's been a lot of hoopla here. I don't know how closely you followed it, Marcus, but some of it generated by the station itself and Brandon Bean sort of going off like he did on the Monday following the draft. I feel like, in a way, what he's done by being as aggressive as he's been about defending the guys he's already got here is really put a spotlight on Coleman for sure, and I think also Dalton Kincaid, a first-round player, you know, pass catcher from the year before. So, to me, like, he's turned the heat up not only on himself, but on those two guys and Coleman and Kincaid.
Yeah, if it doesn't work out, this is why I'm calling him one of the most important players. If things don't work out for Coleman, then this offense, it's still going to be very good. Make no mistake about that. But they're not quite as scary. You know, even someone like Mac Hollins, who was on the roster last year, made some pretty big plays last season, especially in the playoffs. He's obviously gone, left in free agency. There's just not a lot of options who can play on the outside on this roster right now, because even someone like Elijah Moore, who they signed after the draft, he's more of a slot player. Josh Palmer's best play comes out of the slot. I don't know who's going to fill that role, and maybe that's where you have to look at a trade midseason, but Coleman is really the only player on this roster that profiles as an outside X receiver. And again, if he hits, I think he can take this offense to another level.
You know, you're in the fantasy space too, Locked On Dynasty. Mm-hmm. And one thing Coleman could do for all of us, make it easier by really standing out, taking that step. Because, I mean, I'm a fantasy content producer as well. And I'm on shows last year, and they know I'm in Buffalo, and they always wanted to know, like, who's going to be the guy? And I stumbled over that question, Marcus, every time. Like, I just, there was no easy answer to that. Shakir, that might be, he might have the same season every year of his career. And in terms of points, there's not a lot, but it's good. It has NFL real life value. So Coleman could make our lives easier in that front. So I don't have to go like I did last year, going on podcasts touting Marquez Valdez-Scantling, for example.
Yeah, we think Khalil Shakir is basically going to be a flex play for the rest of his life. Now, maybe we're wrong. Maybe he ends up becoming that number one receiver. Clearly, Buffalo thinks he has another level he can get to, and that's why they gave him a contract extension this offseason. But, yeah, it's been very much matchup dependent. Some weeks it's Keon Coleman. Some weeks it was Amari Cooper. Well, not really, but a couple weeks it was Amari Cooper. It would be nice if there was one bona fide outside receiver that we can say, hey, this guy is locked into 7-8 targets every single week. Coleman obviously has the best opportunity to do that. He's the highest drafted receiver on the team. He's the biggest receiver on the team. Again, he is so incredibly young. And it wasn't like he was unproductive as a rookie.
Right.
He had a pretty decent season. It's just when you were comparing it to someone like, I don't know, Xavier Worthy, who the Bills traded out of, and you saw what Xavier Worthy was doing in some of these games, it made the comparison look a little worse than maybe it was. But, again, we're going into year two. This is where receivers or when receivers generally break out. It's a big-time opportunity for Keon Coleman and the Buffalo Bills.
There's also McConkey, although there's some overlap with him and Shakir. And there's even Brian Thomas, Marcus. Like, that would have been a trade-up, but the Bills have done that sort of thing. Easy to say in hindsight. Our Sneaky Joe had a stat, and I'm probably going to be a little bit wrong here, hopefully only a little bit, about the Bills last season. That it was something like 10 or 11 different players led them in receiving yards in a game, and none of them was Kincaid.
It's ridiculous. And Kincaid, honestly, is probably the most talented of all the receivers and tight ends on the roster.
Even one of them was Tyrell Shavers on a long
catch and run against the Jets.
You know, thinking about your dynasty mind as well here, Marcus, what are you doing with Kincaid?
Yeah, this one's really tough because I was a huge fan of Dalton Kincaid coming out of Utah. But, you know, this is somebody who, even going back to his days in Utah, struggled to stay healthy and struggled to stay on the field. And I don't think it's a toughness issue or anything like that, but it's just a lot of nagging injuries. And it seems like whenever he's not 100% healthy, it really impacts his play on the field. I think Buffalo would love to feature him more on the offense, but if you can't stay on the field and you can't be 100% healthy, it's hard to do that. He was somebody who we were ranking as a top 7, top 8 dynasty tight end. And I just don't know how we get there right now after what we've seen from the first two seasons of his career.
Well, he's easy to trade for right now, I would say. Yeah. Like it's a pretty soft market on Kincaid. I look forward to chatting with you again and maybe even meeting. I've met Kate, your Locked On Dynasty co-host at the Fantasy Expo, and that's definitely an area of interest of mine. So I'll start listening.
Yeah, Fantasy Expo is out in Canton, Ohio. It's a lot of fun every single year. I hope you see some listeners there.
Have you been there a number of times? I've been three.
Yeah, I've been there all three times. It's been a lot of fun.
All right, let's hang this year in Canton. Thank you, Marcus.
Of course, anytime.
All right. Marcus Mosher, Locked On Cowboys. His Keon Coleman article, one more time, buffalodown.com.
Can't believe we just went 20 minutes without talking about the schedule. I'm in a panic.
I would have mentioned that Chargers Cowboys week 16 just came out, but I didn't want to
make him mad.
Yeah, he didn't. He's not here for
the
schedule.
We invited him over to our house. We got you, and I'll be polite.
Dallas prime time. Not all their games are in. There's a few more left, but week 1 at Philadelphia, week 9 Monday night home to Arizona, Thanksgiving, not prime time, but Thanksgiving afternoon, Kansas City. Week 14, Thursday night at Detroit. So that's back-to-back Thursday games for Dallas. Sunday night home, week 15 to Minnesota. And then week 17, that's Christmas afternoon at Washington. Minnesota's got plenty of bright colors on theirs, too. Monday night, week one. Sunday night, week two, home to Atlanta. Is that good?
Ugh.
Do they want Cousins on the field or something? Atlanta at Minnesota, week two?
I don't know.
Sunday night football?
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
Week four, their game is in green for some reason. That's Dublin. Minnesota at Pittsburgh in Dublin, then at Cleveland in London.
I get it. It's green. It's Ireland.
Week eight.
Good job.
Week eight, Chargers Thursday night, then the Dallas Sunday night I mentioned, and they also play on Christmas against the Lions. Mini. Not that interested in Minnesota. Frankly.
I'm interested. I just don't know that I want to assume that they deserve showcases.
All those colors.
Right, right. It's a lot of colors.
Five island games in the first 8 weeks for Minnesota. And the others are against Cincinnati and Philadelphia, plus a bye. Man, this is exciting. So is the PGA Championship to many.
Oh, hello.
Brian Koziol joins us next. We'll get a schedule take or two in with Brian, and then I'll give you my 10 golfers. I've only picked 8 so far. I've left 2 just to be, like, spontaneous.
All right.
Here we go. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, schedule day on WGR.